Chloe's father is the proximate cause of the big swims. He is a small, quiet man who is the architect of large public buildings, like airports and museums. He swims in the ocean year-round in Vancouver. These are his big swims. Chloe and I come along. Chloe comes along sturdily, capably, matter-of-factly, spreading the word around the island so that when the day of the big swim arrives, everyone I see is wishing me good luck. I could never spread our aspirations so widely. I appreciate Chloe's good health in this regard and bask in the attention it brings me. If Chloe's father is the proximate cause, what are the deeper causes of the big swim for me? Why, in the words I chattered out to Barry about halfway between islands, do I do this when it is so damn cold? Maybe the answer is the same as Chloe's. It's a patrimony. I remember Massachusetts, 1966, the Boston Marathon, Heartbreak Hill. There's a stout, short man with a comb-over and burly legs chugging up. He'd be faster walking, but he's somehow making the distance longer with an effortful jog. The rain is turning to sleet. I'm 7, in a beige fake fur coat and red polyester mittens connected by elastic through my sleeves. We've been standing in the cold for hours, my brother pulling my mittens as far as he can and snapping them back at me. I'm near tears. My mother is wearing nylons, low-heeled pumps, and a black sweater dress with a sewn-in vest of bright primary stripes. Her hair is stacked up, her makeup tasteful. A lovely woman in a genteel, amusing world. But she's cold, too. My father jogs up to where we are waiting by the side of the road to cheer him on. I barely recognize him. I'm used to the well-dressed man who exudes certainty regarding the topography of this world and the one beyond. But now he looks awful. White spittle clings to his blue lips. He exhales in explosive puffs, blue terry cloth headband askew. His silver metallic liner gloves remind me of Mickey Mouse. But he's in a tunnel of determination. Will he even see us? We shout, "Hey, Dad!" and cheer him on. He glances up, then down, as though he is unable to acknowledge us due to pain. Then he mutters from the side of his mouth, "Get me some hooch." "What?" My brother runs beside him. "What did you say, Dad?" "Get me some hooch," he spits out, irritated at the precious effort wastefully expended in repeating his request. My brother runs back to my mom. "Dad says he wants hooch," he says, mystified. "What's hooch?" I ask. "Alcohol," my mom says, carefully neutral. We stand there in the sleet, stunned. I have never seen my father drink alcohol, ever. He's a family doctor, a church elder, an example on a pedestal. There's no drinking up there, ever. We get the hooch and find him again. He tips back the Dixie cup of vodka proffered by my mom without a blink or sputter. "More," he rasps. This time, he sloshes it around his mouth and spits it out onto the asphalt. Mom winces. He survives the marathon, but loses his toenails. I am left with my childhood confusion as to why he does this horrible thing every single year. My conscious lesson from this and other similar childhood experiences is to reject my father's tunnel-like determination in favor of joie de vivre. If I'm not experiencing pleasure, I'm not doing it. Painful acts of endurance just seem pointless. On the other hand, maybe my swimming comes from a genetic pull. My father engaged the world's great places with his arduous goals. He water skied the Volga River in Russia. He ran the route from Marathon to Athens and finished with a triumphant sprint up the Acropolis in shorts that looked like underwear, holding a Sterno can spray-painted gold on a torch while we hid behind pillars. I followed in his footsteps up the Matterhorn. He claimed to do these things for glory, but that explanation never seemed sufficient. Anyway, I have nothing to prove. For the big swim, the balance of sensation is toward pleasure. The water feel, the swim dance, the wild sea, these outweigh the sensation of cold. Yet the question persists, what am I doing out here so far from land? Sometimes I pull myself through the water fueled by an anxiety that is as distinct as an outboard motor. It is a dark and desperate force, a combination of untied ends and misspoken words, the sum of my malfeasance in life churning through my body.